The day that was, when God was silent to his own son. Following along in your lesson, our Heavenly Father desires to speak to his children. Sadly, many people who claim to be Christians develop a lifestyle in which they live day after day, never hearing God speak to them. For millions, the God of heaven and earth, who spoke the world into existence, is silent. They do not hear his voice. Let's read Psalm 28. Psalm 28. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Hear the voice of my supplication when I cry unto thee, when I lift up my hands toward thy holy oracles, or thy holy hill, or thy holy mountain, or as we remember, the children of Israel would come together there in the tabernacle and then in the temple, and they would come to that most holy place. That would be the oracles, as seen there in the end of verse 2. Then verse 3, draw me not away with the wicked and with the workers of iniquity, which speak peace to their neighbors, but mischief is in their hearts. Give them according to their deeds and according to their wickedness and their endeavors. Give them after the work of their hands. Render to them their desert, because they regard not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hands. He shall destroy them and not build them up. Blessed be the Lord, because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusteth in him, and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise him. The Lord is their strength, and he is the saving strength of his anointed. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up. Following along in our lesson, Psalm 28 is a song in the night. It's a song in the night. We cry out in the night seasons of our lives, don't we? We cry out to the Lord. In the night seasons of our lives, we cry out to the Lord. In those hard times, those difficult times, where we as human beings are up against it. The night seasons of our lives. And we cry out to the Lord. And what a blessing it is to be able to go there in the middle of the night, in the middle of those times, and to cry out to the Lord. And to know that he is there. As the psalmist cries out to God, notice what the Bible says in Psalm 28:1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Thank you, Brother Moore. Unto thee will I cry. What a blessing that we don't have to be alone. That when we are up against it, that we can go to the Lord. That we can go to the Lord. And that he is indeed there. And that he indeed will answer our prayer. As we read through the psalm, it is as though David is lifting his hands as a helpless man. As he lifts his hands toward God and begs to the God of all creation. And what a blessing it is that God is there to hear and to bless and to answer. David here reaching out in Psalm 28, reaching out to God. David here has many enemies, but he wants to leave them in God's hands and let God take care of them. Remember with me in 2 Timothy 4:14, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much evil. The Lord reward him for his works. David here leaving his enemies in the Lord's hands. Leaving his enemies in the Lord's hands for the Lord to punish them, for the Lord to take care of them. Paul, writing to Timothy, Alexander the coppersmith has done me much evil. The Lord reward him for his works. And certainly the Lord will do that. And we have that promise. We have that truth that the Lord is watching. Sometimes it seems as if we feel, Lord, are you there? Are you watching? Do you see what they're doing to me? But God is there and God does hear. God hears David's prayer. David said in verse 7, my heart trusted in him. My heart trusted in him. Our heart can trust in the Lord. And we can rest upon the fact that the God of all creation is there for us. He's there for us. My heart trusted in him. God is everything that we need. God is everything that we need. We might not realize it, but he is our all-sufficient Savior. Everything. He is our all-sufficient Savior. Notice what comes from trusting him, as David said here. David said that in verse 7, and I am helped. And I am helped. David went to the Lord, and he was helped. He was helped. We do not get help until we trust the Lord. That's when the help comes. We always do what we can and the best we can. And then when it all comes down to the end of it, it's just not enough. But yet the Lord is there, and he'll make up the difference. He'll make up the difference. We do not get help until we trust the Lord. Verse 5, shall destroy and not build. Verse 5, because they regarded not the works of the Lord, nor the operation of his hand, he shall destroy them and not build them. The unrighteous workers, the Lord will destroy them and not build them. Verse 5. Verse 6. He had heard the voice of my supplication. Verse 6. Blessed be the Lord because he hath heard the voice of my supplications. Hear David crying in the night to the Lord, and the Lord heard the voice of his supplications. We have needs, we have desires. We can take them to the Lord, and he will hear our supplications. We have needs. We have things that weigh heavily upon us. We can go to the Lord, and he will hear our supplication. And then verse 9, save thy people and bless thine inheritance. Feed them also and lift them up forever. That prayer going to the God of heaven, in which David has met with many times in his life. And here he in verse 9, praying to the Lord for God's blessing on his life, for deliverance for his people. Following along in your lesson on page 18, the silence of God and the sinfulness of men. It is a serious thing to give no regard to God. It is a serious thing when we give no regard to God. When Christians go throughout the week watching TV, going to work, doing the things they've got to do, but yet no time for the Lord. It is a serious matter. What is it we say? Some more convenient day, Lord. I'm kind of busy right now. I've got a lot of things going. There's a lot. I've got to work. I got to fix a car. I got to do whatever. Many things going, Lord, and it's not convenient right now. Not convenient. You know, we hear of people that spend hours in this book a day, and we think if we can't spend hours in this book, then we're not going to do it at all. We need to take 10 minutes, 15 minutes at the beginning of the day. You need to do it. You need to do it. At lunchtime, I say at the beginning of the day, I don't know what your day is. Many of us have different days. I work the afternoon shift, so my day is probably different than yours. But we've got to take a little bit of time right at the beginning, or as close as we can to whatever we call the beginning of our day. We've got to take time. We've got to take time. I love Spurgeon morning and evening devotional. I absolutely love that devotional. I'm sure you can pick them up on the internet for a couple of bucks used. And that man walked with the Lord. That man walked with the Lord. You read his stuff and it is just amazing. It's just amazing. Get a devotional. Get a devotional that I remember some of the old devotionals out of some of the churches, and they're all happy stories about happy things. Get a devotional that gets into the Word of God. Get one that gets you into God's Word, that is based on a scripture rather than some life story that a guy had. Life stories are nice, but we don't build our lives on them. We build our lives on this document, on God's Word. We've got to start our days with this. A small devotional. It's a good way to start out. The silence of God and the sinfulness of men. People think when they read verses like Jeremiah 33:3, that they can do as they please, and when they are ready for God, as Jeremiah 33:3 says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Man tends to go along his way, doing what he wants, no thought of God, and then all of a sudden he needs God. Well, God will be there. Well, God might not be there right away. If you haven't had the relationship with him, he might need to get our attention. He might need to get our attention. Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Are they there? Yes, they certainly are. They're there for those that walk with the Lord. But those that turn their back on the Lord, I'm afraid when they call, that he's going to say, you're going to wait a little while. You're not going to hear from me right now. And that silence from heaven, you're going to go, wow, wow. That silence that comes from heaven, when you don't hear the answer, is going to have an impact on you. The silence from heaven because of the sinfulness of man. Notice what God says in Proverbs 1, verse 20. Proverbs 1, verse 20. Verse 20 through 28. Proverbs 1, 20 through 28. Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning. And fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. What a passage. You say, Brother Raver, doesn't the Lord love us? Doesn't the Lord love mankind? Yes, he does. That's why at these times when man has walked his own way, and all of a sudden, God, I need something. God, you are there just to give me what I need whenever I need it, even though I don't care about you the rest of my life. And God says, no, I'm going to be silent right now for a little while. And you're going to wonder. And then when your heart turns, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That'll certainly be there, but there'll be a silence time. And you'll think, man, I guess I should honor the Lord. Christ is the wisdom of God, and he is always working to get our attention. If we reject him, there will come a day when we will call out and he will not answer. Isaiah 59:1-2. I'm going to memorize these verses this week. I love these verses. Isaiah 59:1-2. Turn with me there, would you please? Isaiah 59:1-2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. It matters how we live, Christians. It matters how we walk. It matters if we take a few moments each day and open God's word. It matters. It matters to the Lord. He desires fellowship with us. Isaiah 59:1-2, here King Saul calls and God has no answer for him. God has no answer for him. God is silent because of the sinfulness of man. And God will be silent. The silence of God and the sickness of people. Jesus is not simply the son of David, as a woman in Matthew 15 would find out. He is the Lord. He's not simply the son of David, although he is. But he is the Lord. In Matthew 15:21. Matthew 15:21-28. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy upon me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped, and saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Jesus Christ came to this earth to save man's soul. Along the way, would he do miracles? Yes. Would he perform miracles? Yes, he would. And as we see here, that he did make her daughter whole. He did heal her. But the Lord didn't come to earth to do that. His goal on earth was not just to do the miracles. It was to save man's soul. That's why Jesus Christ came. That's why she needed to understand the difference between him as the son of David or as the Lord. She needed to know that difference in her own life. The disciples initially mistook Christ's silence for a lack of concern. But Christ was silent because he was working to accomplish his divine purpose. Following along in your lessons, when we ask God for temporal things, perhaps healing of an illness, often we are not concerned about knowing Christ as our Savior and Lord. We only want help for our need. In those times, God will not answer. His silence drives our desire deeper and helps us to realize that what we really need is not some temporary healing for an illness. We need to know the God for who he is. We need to know God for who he is. Our prayer does not need to be, Lord, take away these my problems. Take these away. Take these away. What does our prayer need to be? Lord, what do you have here for me? What is it you're trying to show me? What is it that you have for me? What is it that you're trying to show me whereby I can learn and whereby I can glorify your name? Our prayer tends to be, Lord, take this problem away, rather than, Lord, what do you have for me? How can I glorify you through this? Then the silence of God and the second coming of Christ. The silence of God and the second coming of Christ. In Matthew 26, 62 to 68, the Lord standing here, high priest saying, I adjure thee by the living God to tell me things. And I think of that guy, and I think of when he's going to get to hell. You stood in front of the Savior of all mankind, and you mocked and said, I adjure thee by the living God, when Jesus Christ was the living God. And as he spoke to Jesus there, and the Lord was silent, the Lord didn't answer. Answer me! The Lord didn't answer. The Lord just stood there. And then finally the Lord did answer. The Lord answered and told them that you're going to see me sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. And then the high priest claiming, what further need have we? He's guilty. And everybody said he's guilty. Crucify him. Crucify him. Christ was silent there for a period of time, and then he answered. And when that silence was broken, he told that he was going to come again. What a blessing. Jesus Christ is coming again. When they asked him this time, he simply stood before them in silence, but Jesus held his peace. Jesus held his peace. Then someday he is coming. He is coming in clouds again. There are times when a message of silence is more profound than any message of words. The eternal God, robed in flesh, stood before them silent. Then the silence broke. The announcement that he is coming again someday. Someday the silence of God will be broken when Jesus Christ comes again. Then the silence of God and the Savior's love. Mark 15. Mark chapter 15. And verse 34. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which is being interpreted, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hear the silence of God and the Savior's love. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, he died alone. He died all alone. The God-man died alone. As Jesus Christ says here, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did God forsake him? Somebody tell me. Because he carried our sin. That's why God could not look at Jesus Christ. Because he carried the burden of our sin. Jesus Christ became sin for us. He became sin for us. That we could be forgiven. Salvation plan must be complete. It must be complete for the redemption of mankind. Jesus Christ, we sing the song, he could have called 10,000 angels. Jesus Christ could have left the cross. But he wasn't going to leave the cross. As he told Peter, this is the reason I came. Peter, this is why I came. We're not going to stop them from sending me here. This is the reason I came. I came for the salvation of mankind. We see the greatest demonstration of love, of the love of God. God was silent when allowing his son to die for our sins, to show that, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we ever doubt God's love, when we pray, we need to think of the silence of God at that cross. Jesus Christ loved us totally, fully, completely, unconditionally. He gave everything. Jesus Christ died alone on the cross that day. God the Father could not look at the sin which Jesus Christ had taken on himself. If we are ever down, we need to remember the cross. We need to remember Jesus Christ and what he did for us. What he did for us. Galatians 3:26 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus." Salvation comes to we as mankind through the faith that we have in Christ Jesus. I'm sorry, that Jesus Christ gives us. The faith that Jesus Christ gives us. The silence of God. Silent times, many silent times throughout Scripture, and we can think of other times when there was great silence. But here, the silence in Psalm 28, as we think of this, the silence of God. We need to thank and praise him. We need to think on him. We need to walk with him daily. The Lord loves us. He has a plan for our lives in which we will glorify him. We need to walk in that plan. And now to your questions. Question one, Psalm 28:1. Why does David fear the silence of God? Okay, go. All right, why is no one saying anything? Because he didn't want to become like the men that go down into the pit. That's exactly right. Proverbs 1:20-28, how do we come to the place where we call out to God, but he will not answer? How do we come to that place? Verse 25, you have set at naught my counsel, refusing to hear his word. And then secondly, turn from reproof. Very good. Then 1 Samuel 28:3-6, what was King Saul's greatest dilemma? The Lord wouldn't answer him. The Lord wouldn't answer him. He's looking all around trying to get a word from God. We don't have to look all around. We can get it, can't we? Then Thursday, story of Matthew 15:21-28. What do you think Christ's purpose was in being silent to the Gentile woman? Because he was... Yes, Brother Ken. Sure. Amen. Very good. God is working to accomplish his divine purpose. Very good. Then Matthew 26:62-68, Christ broke his silence by speaking of what future event? In verse 64, although we didn't read it. Second coming. When he comes in with the clouds. Very good. Then Saturday, Mark 15:34, Christ cried out to his Father on the cross. Why was God silent to his son? Why was God silent to his son? Let's get about maybe three different answers here. Brother Ken?
Yeah, I left his son so that his son could die for us.
Okay. He was silent because Jesus Christ had to die to complete salvation. Okay. Someone else? Kelly? Because Jesus carried our sin. God, the holy God of all creation, could not look at sin. Very good. Someone else have something they wrote there? Jerry. So that we could live again. That's right. Jesus Christ died that we could live again. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we're thankful for your love. We're thankful for the word of God. Lord, help us to love this book. Help us to make this book a part of our lives. Thankful for the truths that we read in it. Pray for our pastor right now coming over. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much for coming today.